gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, that's just totes adorbs. Iran wants to sue all of Hollywood.
Yeah, they just want to sue Hollywood.
Awesome.
Let's get the lawyer for Hollywood on.
Yeah, we'll hook you right up.
It's adorable.
We're out here.
I'm hanging around in the park.
Iran's going to sue Hollywood.
It's Hollywood.
Over Argo.
Here's Joe Hollywood. He's the lawyer for Hollywood.
Somebody get the lawyer for Hollywood on the line. The Hollywood sign, right? Yeah.
Why is he wearing rags and lying on the grass and drinking tequila out of a bottle?
Oh, not that we don't take your threat of a lawsuit seriously. Bring it on. As George W. Bush would say, bring it on. All right, 7 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com. It's Tuesday, everybody. Jim Ward is back. Yay. You missed Maximum Hotness yesterday.
Yeah.
Hot Brie, Melissa Fitzgerald, and Wonder Woman.
Great.
Linda Carter was awesome.
Oh, my God. She's still so smoking hot.
Yes.
Wow.
And she was ripping apart Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachman.
Did we make Newsbusters? I hope so.
Probably.
She said something very indelicate. I forget what it was, but it was awesome. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Sexy Liberal, the Sexy Liberal website. By the way, let's see. Nace writes, Steph and the Mooks, I have to share something that happened to me the other day. I was exiting the car wash when someone honked at me. I was thinking, WTF. I looked in my rear view mirror and saw a gal laughing and giving me a thumbs up. I realized she was giving me a thumbs up for my Sexy Liberal bumper sticker. Thanks to you people, I think I've lost my mind at work. I laugh out loud with my headphones on. Well, that's what one of our drop says.
He's
go ahead, laugh out loud
in
your cubicle. Right. Everyone already, there you go.
Go ahead, laugh out loud in your cubicle.
Right.
Everyone already thinks you're a left-wing lunatic anyway.
There you go.
It's right. The Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank
up in here.
Up in here. Great. Totally. And you know where it's going to be up in next month?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Hiya, Sandy. Hey, I heard some real great news today on the Stephanie Miller Show. You know that gorgeous hunk of a man, Chris?
Oh,
Chris LaVoy?
Yeah.
Well, he's coming to the Sexy Liberal Show, too.
Oh, yeah, don't say.
Sexy liberals everywhere.
There's a sea of sexy liberals everywhere.
With Stephanie and Hellfox too. John Fugel saying he's gonna meet and grow with you. Come on now.
I am so excited, I might even shave my legs.
Sexy liberals celebrate and have a good time.
You betcha. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is making its way to the Midwest. Yes, Chicago, here they come.
There's a party over there.
It is going to be a good time, don't you know?
Yeah.
April 13th in Chicago!
Chicago!
Yay!
Oh, speaking of sexy liberals, Hal Sparks will be filling us in for us next week while we're on vacation. Maximum Hotness Jackie Schechner will be live in studio with him.
Wow.
Right,
oh, really?
Here in Captain America's underpants.
I did not know that.
Well, you're on a need-to-know basis.
I should probably tell my replacement about that so he knows what to do.
Probably. I'm glad we only communicate on the air. What's the point? If the microphone's not on, I don't even talk to
you. It doesn't exist, yeah.
What's the point of talking if there's no microphone?
That's right. To paraphrase Nicole Kidman. And to die for.
That's right.
Thank you. All right.
If it doesn't happen on TV.
And we actually don't. We just sit here and we barely speak during the break. So we're just like... Okay, the microphone's on. Now you're worth talking to. Okay. No, that's not true. We talk about really inappropriate things during the break that are not for air.
No.
Although we always forget about this microphone. Fear that goes back to the current control room.
Oh.
Who's probably writing a book about us right now.
Please be kind, Courtney.
Please. Okay, so right-wing world, we have Representative Joe Courtney coming up as well to talk budget sequester, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the Paul Ryan stuff. Charlie Pierce wrote some great stuff.
Yeah.
That was not even a 360. It was like a
720.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
What? It's like he ran, against the cuts in Obama's then he's like using that savings in his new budget,
right.
But he's
savings that he doesn't want.
He didn't
and then he's using the tax hike in the fiscal cliff that he also voted against as to balance his budget because then he ran. Okay. Wowee. He is a serious, thoughtful, bold, and courageous.
I need premium support for my brain.
I'm looking at an ad.
Yes.
Snored tees with all these hot chicks and
yes.
T-shirts. This is perfect one for Brian Kilmeade or Paul Ryan. I can't brain today. I have the dumb.
That's Brian Kilmeade.
Yeah.
What?
I love it.
Where'd the sun go?
All right. Ah,
where'd the bright thing go? It's
Brian
dark.
Kilmeade
oh, now it's light again.
Is startled by everything that we've decided. Yeah, some people have an overstartled response.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably, I bet you
ooh,
Gretchen Carlson does
ball.
This a lot. I bet she does that like every morning in the commercial break. Yeah!
And he ducks every time.
Right.
Yeah.
Made you flinch.
All right.
I'd be scared of Gretchen Carlson too, though.
Yeah, we can.
mean right hook.
Yeah.
Bam. We can say a T and then a he about the disarray in the right wing world because
yeah.
I. So, who's excluded from the CPAC now? Pam Geller.
Yep.
Atlas Jugs is not invited to play in any of their reindeer games.
And so she started attacking them.
She said they're enforcing the Sharia.
CPAC, right. Of all organizations is enforcing
sure.
Sharia.
Anti-Islam bloggers blame Grover Norquist for their CPAC snubs. And you have John McCain and his Southern Belt, Lindsey Graham, in a full-on war with Rand Paul.
Stars.
And Rand Paul and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity on one side now.
Yep.
With nudie and I don't know, whatever. Anyway, Atlas Jug said, what are they doing at CPAC? Essentially, they're enforcing the Sharia. I just
right.
love the Sharia.
The Sharia.
My Sharia.
Exactly. Oh, Rocky Mountain Mike just lunged to the keyboard.
Yeah.
Under the Sharia, the blasphemy laws, you cannot say, you cannot offend, you cannot criticize, and you cannot insult Islam. That is effectively what they're doing. They're enforcing the Sharia. That's right, Pam. You know what? I'd go do a little rabble-rousing at the CPAC. Don't let them treat you like that. They're enforcing the Sharia.
Yeah, you should eat a cheese and pork
great.
Sandwich right in front of them.
Right. Oh, this is a CPAC national showdown. So this is
Thursday through Saturday. American NRA sanctions.
It's the annual CPAC national showdown.
Name calling, podium pounding conservatives.
Speaking at over 200 miles per hour.
Coke, Chevron, ExxonMobil, and Citibank sponsored neocon nitro fuel. The vomit arrangement syndrome explodes off the starting line.
Thursday through Saturday. Saturday.
Come see
Newt the Snake. Gingrich.
Bobby the Mongoose Jindal.
Mitch the Turtle McConnell.
Mitch the Dancing Horse Romney.
Marco Big Gulp Rubio.
Jim, nobody's gay in my family, so climate change isn't the only thing I'm denying. Inhofe.
Atlas turned and coughed Paul.
Eric Bitch Face Cantor.
Wade, good guy with gun money, LaPierre.
Sarah, I can see irrelevance from my house, Palin.
Come and listen to my story about a man named Jeb Bush.
Alan, I'm the only black guy west.
Paul Ryan, TV's Eddie from the Munsters.
Plus, Butch Patrick, TV's Eddie from the Munster.
Balloons for the kids,
and much more.
The annual CPAC National.
Take 101 to the Slauson Cutoff. Get out of your car.
And cut off your Slauson Thursday through Saturday. Saturday.
Mitt Romney requests that you not bring your camera.
By the way, you can't take the 101 to the Slauson Cutoff.
No,
no,
it doesn't
cannot.
Go
no. You cannot
that was
get there
a
from there.
Joke
no.
from 1972.
Oh, okay.
Johnny Carson.
Oh, well then, never mind.
All right, let's dive into the right wing world, see what it's doing today,
ooh.
Shall we?
We're early today.
Right?
I know.
Totally. Bill O'Reilly.
It's interesting watching the anti-Fox media try to exploit the shootout I had with Alan Colmes last week. These hacks flailed around trying to diminish me and this network. To quote that great philosopher Bernard Goldberg, spitballs at a battleship. Huh? But the loons did bring attention to a very vital issue in America, the irresponsible spending on the part of the federal government.
What?
The reason I got angry with Alan Colmes, who'll be on the program tomorrow,
right.
is that he refused to acknowledge President Obama's refusal to cut federal programs.
But he's
he
cutting,
was telling the truth and you were...
He is cutting,
he's cutting federal
okay.
programs.
It's on the website.
That's why liberals are unhappy with him.
Right.
Whitehouse.gov.
Right. Okay.
It's on
thanks.
The website.
That's helpful. He needs to
shut up!
Like
you're
you.
Lying! You're a liar! You're all liars! Shut up!
You know what his problem is? Doing it live. That's the problem. Seems to make him angry.
Yeah.
Vodka makes you angry. Doing it live seems to make him angry.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Thing sucks!
Don't call Alan Colmes a thing. That's just mean, y'all.
It will be interesting to see Alan Yeah, tonight.
Right.
We'll see.
All right, Sean Hannity.
President Obama's liberal allies and his left-wing cohorts that make up the mainstream media need a reality check because over the last few days, they've gotten, well, out of control with their comments.
Really? Really? You mean like...
Wow, nice reading from the teleprompter, Sean. They've gotten well out of control with their comments.
Well, you mean like the Chiron and Meet the Press are both sides equally to blame for the sequester?
Yeah.
Yeah. That crazy liberal, Obama-loving mainstream media, right.
That claptrap.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, Glenn Beck. Oh, look who's back.
Look who's back.
The crazy uncle from the basement back on Fox News on
O'Reilly.
Glenn
Beck.
When he's talking about cutting the money for the states, that's not to help the deficit. That's to collapse the medical system as we know it so everybody can be rushed into one single-payer program.
No,
that's,
unfortunately.
That's what's happening.
I wish that were true.
If only.
Yeah.
If only anything they said in Right Wing World was true. Yeah, that's what, when the president, presented the healthcare talents, he said this is to collapse the medical system in America as we know it.
That's right.
That's my plan.
Sure.
Okay. Wow. All right, I'm winded halfway through. 17 minutes after the hour, we continue Right Wing World after this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, I don't believe it. This is too good to be real. Of course this is real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Come on, get it started. Come on, get it started. Get it started. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here.
In here.
Yeah, that's what Stephanie Miller show up in here. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Anthony in Vegas. Hey, Anthony.
Thanks for taking my call, Stephanie.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Just wanted to talk about the sequestration. One point that I never really hear Democrats or Republicans really champion is the fact that we have, I believe, over 700 to 900 military bases in over 130 countries throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's also used as the guy saying that, you know, we're at war with radical Islam, we're at war with communism. This is the reason why we need to have such, you know, a vast military empire throughout the world. Which I think is ridiculous, especially with the fact that the majority of our stuff comes from China, and our major, the country where we get the majority of oil from is Saudi Arabia.
Right.
So who are we really at war with? I think we're at war
with
anybody. Well,
not to mention, you know, in terms of nukes, we have enough to, what, Jim, blow the world up like 17 times over or something? I mean, we have more than all of the, however many countries come next, like times a zillion, so... Although I was supposed to go on CNN yesterday, these cuts are dumb, just the way they're done, this sequestration.
Yeah.
I believe they're telling the Marines to not shoot so much.
Can you use fewer bullets?
Just conserve. We're under budget cuts, which is just a little, I'm just saying, they're like the president said, and Republicans have agreed, they're dumb the way these cuts are done. So anyway. All right. Oh, I think I'm going on today. I got canceled yesterday because it was breaking news on the...
You never tell me these things so I can
I
alert
know.
The social media.
That's exactly what you'd be expecting. I was on Friday, and I'm on Aaron Burnett today, I believe. Unless
you're on Aaron Burnett, huh?
I bet you are.
We continue Right Wing World.
Not anymore, you're not. Not after that.
No, now I'm canceled again. Thanks. Okay. Charles Krauthammer on Inside
Washington. I'm grateful that he raised this issue, because I think that we've reached a point in the country where we are all sick and tired of the way administration is going around blowing people the kingdom come while sitting in their living rooms because of a suspicion they might be... I'm talking about Americans. Just last week, my neighbor was blown away during a chicken barbecue by his pool. Look, of all the issues that we are looking at in the country, insolvency, war in North Africa, Iran going nuclear, this is the most ridiculous and absurd.
Oh, so he's taking Rand Paul to task for bringing up the drone policy.
Oh, I see. He was making a lighthearted joke about his neighbor getting blown up by a drone while barbecuing chicken. Okay.
Because you know what a comedian Charles Krauthammer
is. Right, right. Right-wing jokes always about
death.
Death.
I don't think
nothing
we've ever...
funnier.
Yeah, we've never found an example that wasn't true for.
I don't think so.
Seriously.
I don't think so. You can tell by their chuckly tone, Jim, that that was the comedic portion.
You blow it to bits.
Wow.
Guts everywhere. It's great. Psych, gotcha.
Okay, right.
Okay. Ooh, sorry, I had a little orgasm. Okay. Who's this? Ooh, someone new. And Helen Alvare?
Yes.
From the Focus on the Family radio program?
Yes.
Ooh. I never miss
that
it.
That must be popular.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question the Constitution does not textually have a right to same-sex marriage. There is no question it has been banned in almost, you know, it's we only have a few states allowing it now.
Right.
To say that it's a constitutional right would be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they want to be fighting over it for the next 40 years. Love you. We won't discriminate against you as gay and lesbian persons, God willing, in the future. But marriage is not in the cards for you.
Marriage just isn't in the cards.
Oh, could you be more patronizing? I don't think
so. In the Constitution that says straight people have a right to get married either.
No, there's not.
I don't think the word marriage is in the Constitution.
I swear to God, I thought that was that Saturday Night Live skit with the, ooh, hot mic.
Hot mic, ooh.
Because what was that? It was like a little...
That was her out music.
It was like a keyboard, wasn't it?
It was a Casio.
Marriage not in the cards for you guys. Ooh, hot mic, sorry.
Was that the most patronizing tone?
I gotta hear that again.
Okay.
Hear it again. This is Helen. Hi, I'm Helen.
Focus on the family.
There's no question the Constitution does not textually have a right to same-sex
music
marriage.
Music is too hot, by the way.
There is no
bring the music up too hot.
Banned in almost,
supposed to start
it's low.
Right.
We only have a few states allowing it now.
Right.
To say that it's a constitutional right would be ridiculous. And I don't think they want to be fighting over it for the next 40 years.
They?
We love you. We won't discriminate against you as gay and lesbian persons, God willing, in the future. But marriage is not in the cards for you.
Yeah, we're going to need you to go ahead and move down storage room B.
We're going to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No,
some new people coming in, and we need all the space we can get.
There's a lot of things
not
that
are...
Not in
the cards for you, guys. Oh, I'm sorry. What? We'll be right back. Chris is playing the role of the bad engineer.
That's right.
Let's do it again. It's 27 minutes after the hour, and also...
Oh, wait a minute.
All right.
It's not in the cards for you.
Not in the cards for you, gay.
You're blinding me with the glow sticks.
I bet you the engineer is gay and he hates her.
Oh, yeah.
He's just trying to drive her out.
I mean,
so she has to start shouting louder and louder. Probably never occurs to her to ask him to turn it down.
Yeah,
they just compete against each other. I hate gay! Okay.
It's hard to be patronizing like that while still talking loud.
If you... Oh, my God. I'm doing some reconnaissance to find out if her engineer is gay. I know it's true. All right.
By the way, there's a lot of stuff that's not in the Constitution. Traffic control, hardly mentioned at all.
There you go. Yes. So why do we have them? I'm sorry, it's not in the cards for you. Controlling the planes. 28 minutes after the hour! I love us. Okay. Fellow gay lover, Pat Robertson on
Robinson?
The 700.
Nothing is impossible with God. By the way, on this program the other day, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge that somebody's getting $1 million.
I
talked to a businessman
a
couple days ago. He said, you know, you had that word. I said, yeah. He said, I'm just getting a check for $1.1 million from BP unexpectedly. They just, his income went down at a particular point of time in the Gulf, and they were paying off everybody that had a dip in income.
Really? God knows it all.
Just give him a check.
God knows it all.
God does it all.
Yeah, you know
God
how that happened? That
checks.
Wasn't God. That was Barack Obama got the settlement for BP. Remember how that happened?
Oh, that.
Okay. Ooh, God sent me a check. Stop it. Is everybody here gay? Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You are terrible. You've got no rhythm, no coordination. I've
I've seen two epileptics share a bowl of noodles with more grace.
What is wrong with you?
What?
Did you not hear my page? I said, Stephanie Miller, please report to your show. Stephanie Miller, please report.
We have a paging system?
Yes.
Who knew? Okay.
She's drunk.
Clearly. Why wasn't I told? Okay. 34 minutes after the hour. I got back here in time to say 34 minutes after the
hour. Barely.
You were still trying to drown me out with your passive-aggressive loud music.
Didn't mean to call you that.
Okay. This hour brought to you by TheraBreath and Al's Wedding Lozenges. I got back in time to say that as well. Pop a great-tasting mandarin mint TheraBreath lozenge to help stop uncomfortable dry mouth fast. TheraBreath mouth wedding lozenges available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores.
Are you okay? Where were you?
It's none of your business.
I see.
Well.
Yeah, it's going to be like that.
Okay.
Mike in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, guys. I love you guys. You need to be down here more often.
Okay.
But the thing is, Mama, this is what I'm thinking. The whole country's starting to feel like me as a black man walking through some suburbs in the Atlanta area. I mean, we're being suspect all because of who we have as a president. The whole country is suffering because of who we have as a president in my eye. I think, and that's why they're doing it. And as far as health care is concerned, I want to say this. Somewhere there's a mother who sacrificed her son for this country who can't get health care.
Yeah.
So in my eye, they should be able to get health care because of the sacrifices that the people who are down here trying to make this country work as America's working. They deserve health care. We all do.
Yep, you're right. Thank you, Mike. All right. I think we're going to do a health care corner today.
Oh, good.
There's lots of... whatever. Okay, listen. We just did finish Right Wing World. This is the thing. You wonder why, like, they're fighting for some things with the secret registration they don't care about. The White House tours apparently are their binky, even the right wing, because that's a, you know, thing they can give to their constituents. And first of all, that's not like people are really suffering. We've had a bunch of people call the show, real people that are feeling real effects of this stupid sequester.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, remember the White House tours?
Yeah.
Remember the two guys who gave us the White House tour? They were the fans of the
show? Oh, right. Yes.
Yes. One of them.
Thank God we got ours. What I care about.
One of them is still in school, and he's getting tuition assistance from the Air Force.
Right.
And that has suddenly been cut off because of sequestration. And so now he has to pay out of pocket for classes that he was planning on taking.
Okay.
So, you know, feeling for you.
Yeah, I know. Well, anyway, so Fox News host Sean Hannity and Eric Bolling have offered $140,000, or enough to fund more than 90,000 food stamp meals to keep White House tours open. You know, just
priorities
as a PR
much?
Stunt. Yeah. After the Obama administration has temporarily suspended them due to automatic budget cuts.
Why do they need the troops?
Mm-hmm, right.
Yeah.
NBC reporter Luke Russert argued that President Obama was trying to stick it to rank-and-file congressmen because they had the ability to promise tours to their constituents. This is the liberal media, people like that. Okay. During the Thursday's broadcast of Fox News, The Five, Eric Bolling offered the president a deal. Oh, isn't that nice? He's negotiating with Fox News tools now.
Great.
For the money that Bolling and Hannity have agreed to spend so that lawmakers can give constituents access to a short walk through the White House, Fox News hosts could also have provided 1 year of nutritional and preschool programs to 15 of the 75 children that could be cut from the Head Start program because of sequestration. They could fund over 90,000 meals through the food stamps program, which is also expected to face cuts. If you really wanted to help some real people, they're really, really hurt by this sequestration. But nice stunt. All right. I did a piece yesterday from the New York Times. We were talking about that apparently there are less guns, you know, since the 70s than whenever you listen to Fox News or other places, it's going crazy. Guns are flying off the shelves. You can't even buy one. But they were saying the percentage of households has gone down and down and down since the 70s. And now this, as we were talking about this not being my dad and Goldwater's party, Richard Nixon wanted a handgun ban. Oh, no, more secret tapes. How embarrassing.
Is there any conversation that man did not tape? Good Lord.
Oh, God. Previously unreported tapes of Richard Nixon, are there any left? Revealed the president called for a ban on handguns. He said, this is Nixon in a taped conversation, I don't know why any individual should have the right to have a revolver in his house. The old-fashioned word, revolver.
Bless his heart.
The kids usually kill themselves with it, and so forth. He asked, why can't we go after handguns, period? Nixon went on, I know the Rifle Association will be against it, the gun makers will be against it, but people should not have handguns. Oh, my God. Same as it ever was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Publicly, Nixon never called for this measure, though he said he would sign a bill that, that banned Saturday night specials, the cheaply made and easily concealed guns. Beyond that, Nixon took no further action, seemingly advised not to pursue the issue. At the time, Attorney General John Mitchell told Nixon the gun lobby is against any incursion into the elimination of firearms.
Well, even Lynyrd Skynyrd was against Saturday night special. They wrote a song about it.
Yeah.
There we go. Jay in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jay.
Hey, guys. You guys are easy to love and hate, I'll say. So I love you in some ways, just like you guys and others.
Okay.
But the sequestration...
Well, welcome to relationships, Jay.
That's right. It's all a fine line, I know. I wanted to point out, there's this program I've looked into here in Chicagoland. I know it's everywhere across the country. And they call it congestion mitigation. So what I'm seeing is, cylindric white cameras going up on the tops of street lights, not traffic lights, not red light cameras. Mm-hmm. And they're just popping up everywhere in Chicagoland in the suburbs. So I checked it out in one of the townships and met with the engineers and found out it's about 95% federally funded. It's $25,000 an intersection. That's not including software and upkeep. So I guess my question is, how come no one's talking about this? This is happening right now.
You really met with a city engineer to discuss this with him?
I'm sorry?
You really met with a city engineer to discuss this with him?
What are these?
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I pushed, and the guy said he can come on in and see the system. Uh-huh. And I'll tell you what, the point here
you're
is...
You're a Poindexter.
The federal government can look through these cameras, and we know what they cost now. I know what they cost.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, just in Chicagoland, I mean, you know, the city of Aurora needed $10 million. That's one suburb of Chicago.
Okay.
So
he was cutting in and out. Explain to me what he's talking about exactly.
He was complaining that city governments were spending too much on cameras instead of...
But are these traffic cameras? Are they trying to catch criminals?
Traffic,
or are they
traffic
spying
mitigation.
On people? Oh, it's traffic, okay.
Oh, I see.
But
it sounded like he had his little bugaboo.
Was his thing.
Yeah, it was his thing. Yeah.
We love him here in Hollywood. You can get cheap headshots that way.
Yeah.
But those things
are
actually...
While you're going through a light, you can just...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But they've rigged them to catch more people. And in the process, they've actually caused accidents.
Yeah.
Because people are slamming on the brakes so they don't get...
Yeah.
It's caused a huge increase in rear-end collisions.
Mick in Colorado, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mick.
Good morning.
Hey.
First-time caller. I discovered you out in Sacramento. I just wanted to call up and say how great your show is.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I just want to make a quick comment here.
Yes.
I don't know what Paul Ryan's psychological problem is, but is this the 33rd or 34th time that he's proposing basically the same budget, $716
right.
$1 billion that he says are going to be cuts that are already in savings from
Obamacare. I mean, the question is why, and Charlie Pierce writes about this, of course, brilliantly as usual this week, why does the mainstream media treat him seriously? I mean, it's ridiculous. He makes it like he's some serious, thoughtful, budget guy. Even Chris Wallace
he's not
was
an expert.
He said, what did he say? He said, your budget calls for the repeal of Obamacare. He's like, well,
that's
not going to happen.
Yeah.
And he says, well, we think it should.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Wisconsin's a really, it's an aged state. I mean, outside of maybe Madison. And I just think that Ryan needs to be put in a padded room because he's banging his head against the wall.
Yeah.
And the same result over and over again, that's the quick definition of insanity.
Yep.
It's very understandable. In any case, I'll let you go.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
I'll
Mick.
Call again.
All right. Thank you. Good. If I had a nickel for every man that said he'd call again.
Every man?
Whatever.
Okay.
We think it should be repealed. Okay, well, I think Angelina Jolie and Alicia marry me and not Brad Pitt, so whatever, Eddie Munster.
She likes knives.
Can you budget around that?
Todd. Yes.
Can you budget being married to Angelina Jolie?
Sure.
Okay.
I think Paul Ryan should go back to lifting his 12-pound girly weights.
with his
hat on backwards. So all he does is curls, really? Okay.
No, those aren't curls. If you're lifting with 5-pound weights, those aren't curls. That's just moving your arm up and down.
By the way, someone said with the new TSA rules, you can bring both of those guns to Chicago.
There you go.
Your arms.
I'm armed.
Okay. All right. All right.
We believe that Obamacare is a program that will not work. We believe Obamacare will actually lead to hospitals and doctors and healthcare providers turning people away.
Here he is.
You're just scaring grandma.
You have to remember, all that money that was taken from Medicare was to pay for Obamacare. We say we get rid of Obamacare, we end the raid, and we apply those savings to Medicare to make Medicare more solvent and extend the solvency of the Medicare Trust Fund.
Repeating the lies doesn't make them true.
It was using the savings to...
You know what I mean? It's like you get moldy cheese where you go, can I just cut that off and it'll still be good? No.
Well, yeah, actually with cheese you can. Bread you can.
That was a bad analogy. All right.
Cheese is supposed to be moldy.
I do that. But sometimes it's too far gone is my point. And so I'm just saying old ideas that you just ran and lost on, but it's like he's back like they're new. Like, oh, how about this now?
Look at my new plan. What? It's premium support. It's serious. It's new and serious. It's just like the other
one. Bold and thoughtful.
Yeah.
Outrageous. Yes, this is Paul. When he unveils his budget plan this week, Paul Ryan will complete a 720-degree flip. Nicely done. I'm President Obama's
cuts
to Medicare.
That's a full front ollie. Yeah. With a backflip.
Providers. As he revealed on Fox News Sunday, his upcoming budget will sustain the cuts. He said, we end the raid, apply those savings to Medicare to make Medicare more solvent, extend the solvency of the Medicare Trust Fund. He ran for vice president last year against those cuts to Medicare, as you recall, and there's lots of tape of that, which was helpfully played on television last night. Ryan and Republican leaders started off opposing the ACA's Medicare cuts, then turned around and twice passed budgets that kept them, then campaigned against those cuts in the 2012 election, and are now embracing them again. Wow! I think Charlie Pierce said this week, that's in NASCAR when the car flips like I don't know how many times and there's pieces in all over the the stands.
Yeah.
That's that kind of flip.
Okay.
His budget will include the tax hikes from the fiscal cliff, which he voted against, which will help him balance.
But so maybe Paul Ryan should be wearing a helmet, but he probably wear that backwards too.
He's depending on something that he voted against?
Wow.
This guy's an idiot.
He is bold and thoughtful and courageous.
I was for it before I was against it, but now I'm against being for it, against it.
Flat. Okay.
I can't remember. Premium support.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie? Might be time for you to go now. Okay.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
I won't go! I won't! I won't! I won't!
Get out of here.
You can't beat me! You can't! You can't!
All right.
Wasn't he just on the losing end of a presidential campaign?
Right. He was.
Right.
He was.
Espousing those very same ideas.
So, you would think why is anyone listening to him?
Shut up for a little bit.
Run along
now. Just take the hint.
Right. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
We've definitely got our thing together, don't we? Nobody but
Stephanie Miller.
And me.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Anthony in D.C. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Hi. Good. Go ahead.
Hi. On Sunday, I was watching Fox Sunday. You know, at the end of the show, Chris Wallace read letters. And he was reading a letter on somebody wrote him talking about the Mitt Romney interview from the week before. And the guy was saying, well, he's so sad that Mitt Romney didn't win, and he was hoping that we could finally get a first lady in the White House with class, and Romney. And that guy, you know, he's entitled to his opinion, but the fact that Chris Wallace would actually read this over the air,
I didn't understand.
You know, the election was over. You know, you can wish you won, but he didn't. He lost.
Yeah. And is the implication that Michelle Obama does not have class?
That's nice.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Professional journalist, that's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, listen, some of the letters I get, that, you know, that's how Fox News disguises journalism. It's like, someone wrote me, so let me just put it out there, right? Yeah. Let's go to Kelly in Virginia. Hi, Kelly.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
I just want to say, Chris, love the shirt. Very retro.
Thank you. It's my happy camper shirt.
Yes. Even though I love Hal Sparks, I really missed you yesterday, Jim.
I know.
I just want to say about this, repealing Obamacare again.
Yeah, really? Again?
How many times are they going to do this? And every time they do it, do they spend tax dollars every time they do this, try to repeal this?
Well, yeah, they did. How many times was it? 33 or something? They,
yeah,
you know,
and they still keep trying to.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be fiscally conservative, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Not to mention it adds to the deficit if we repeal Obamacare. I mean, honestly, nothing they do makes sense anymore.
As long as they can blame it on Obama, then it makes sense to them politically.
Yes.
Look who Obama did. Okay, we did it. But that's not the point.
Okay. Tom in St. Louis. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Hey, how about we take and have a congressional conclave? We lock all the guys up and gals up in the House and the Senate.
Oh, that's right. It's Popey Day.
And don't
It's Pick a Pope Day.
Yeah, and don't let them out till they come up with, you know, whatever it is they're supposed to do.
Right. I want to see white smoke and know that there's a budget deal. And then I don't...
Well, yeah. And when they do come up with something, they can just bend over and blow smoke like they usually do.
There you go. All right. I see what you did there. Okay. Yeah, this is one of the typical,
Right-wing hypocrites!
Republicans all for sequestration until something gets sequestered in their backyard.
That's right.
Yes.
Of course. The way it always is.
Ask Wyoming's lone House member, Representative Cynthia Loomis, who applauded the $85 billion carved across the board in a letter to constituents until they have... I was doing the John Boehner pronunciation.
Sounds like you need a lot
of... So I can better communicate with my... Okay. Until they hit home like they did last week at Yellowstone National Park in her home state of Wyoming, where Park Superintendent Dan Wenk froze his workforce and delayed the start of seasonal hiring and plowing after being ordered to cut $1.8 million from his budget due to sequestration.
He said plowing.
Plowing.
The cuts will hurt Yellowstone's tourism, delivering a blow to the region's economy. When Loomis was confronted with angry constituents, the obvious thing to do would have been to support repealing or replacing the sequester. Instead, she invented a fantasy in which Wenk was the villain. That guy, because he cut the cuts that he was ordered to cut.
But she's the one who cut the...
Well,
right.
He did what I told him to, the idiot.
What kind of idiot does that?
Well, that kind of idiot right there. That Yellowstone idiot. Okay, Representative Nancy Pelosi talking about the budget and sequestration.
I've served with a few presidents, two as leader or speaker, and I've never seen the patience, the willingness to listen, to accommodate views as President Obama has extended to the Republicans.
Yeah, just a little bit. Okay, Nancy Pelosi again on the president.
The president has always been very respectful of the views of the Republicans in the Congress, their leadership and their membership. He has always tried to accommodate him. This idea that but for that we would have gotten all these other things done is just really not reality.
Okay. And Senator Tom Coburn, Republican of Oklahoma, on the very same.
I think he actually would like to solve the problems of the country, and it would be to his benefit and certainly every American's benefit if he did that. So it's time to start leading, and the way you do that is quit poking your finger in people's eyes and start building relationships, and I think he's got a great chance to accomplish a big deal.
Yeah, that's what he's been doing, just poking him in the eye, just... poking him in the eye. That's all he's been doing. He hasn't been trying to reach out at all. Nah. Okay. He hasn't talked to the budget monster enough. That's what he hasn't spent enough time doing curls with the budget monster. That's what it is.
This is the first time I've ever had a conversation with the president lasting more than, say, 2 minutes or televised exchanges. So I've never really had a conversation with him on these issues before. I'm excited that we had this conversation. We had a very frank exchange.
Yeah, you know why? Because you're Paul Ryan. No one wants to talk to you for more than two minutes.
I got a thing with a guy.
Zombie-eyed Granny Starver. To coin a Charlie Pierce phrase.
Sure.
Who will, of course, join us this hour. All right. So lots to talk about. The soda ban was overturned.
It was at the last minute.
Yes, and which is why I was canceled from CNN. Because I'm not from New York and apparently could not speak to. I don't really think about soda.
You don't? know, SodaStream.
Right, exactly. That's what I would have brought to the table. All right.
If you've got free refills, the whole 16-ounce thing makes no sense.
Yeah. All right. We will talk about that. Charlie Pierce, much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stop making fun of how I talk to Jackie off air. We're friends.
That didn't sound friend-ish.
Yeah, we were just getting, we were strategizing our healthcare corner. And I did say, I miss you, I'll talk to you in a second. Okay.
And then you did something like,
she's my healthcare woogie. Leave me alone.
Again.
Good morning, Woogie.
Yeah, there's a professional relationship, and then there's the way we speak to each other when nobody else is around.
Yeah.
She gets a daily message, boo-boo, call me. Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's really sort of obnoxiously annoying to anybody who's not us.
Yeah, hello. We're here.
Your eyes got this big. I'm like, shut up. Okay.
No, you hang up.
I showed Jim the picture of Hitler on the phone, and it said, 9, you hang up first. Okay. That's not funny. Come on. All right, so let's talk at Healthcare Corner, because lots of stuff going on. You were telling me yesterday about a CNN documentary.
Oh, if you follow me on Twitter, you know I got all riled up on Sunday night. CNN debuted this documentary. They bought this film called Escape Fire, and the headline is The Fight to Save Our Healthcare System or something like that.
Right.
And it made me think, gosh, where the heck was CNN 3.5 years ago when we were actually fighting to save our healthcare system?
Yeah.
I mean, it was well done. It was a good documentary. It didn't teach me anything I didn't know. And certainly if anyone over there had been paying attention 4 years ago, this information would have been widely disseminated instead of all the information about the Tea Party baloney and Sarah Palin's death panels. My favorite is I did a little research about it, and I guess CNN just bought this documentary, and the president of CNN, the quote was, here it is, this compelling film gives us an explanation of some of the factors that have contributed to our broken system and explains why we urgently need to fix it. Really? You just coming to this? Did you miss Sicko? Like,
all right. It does feel like a bad replay to me every time. So Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, he's not, here we go again, we were just talking about, really? You saw this exchange with Paul Ryan on Fox, right, about, well, this supposes the repeal of Obamacare, and Chris Wallace is like, well, that's not going to happen. And he's like, well, but we think it should.
It should.
Yeah, it's such a fantasy. I mean, we said this last time, right, that Paul Ryan's budget proposal was like a fantasy document because it actually couldn't be implemented the way that he laid everything out. It supposed and presumed so many things that wouldn't actually or couldn't actually happen.
Right.
So this time around, he says, I want to repeal the Affordable Care Act, but I want to keep in place the $716 billion in Medicare cuts.
That I just ran against.
Yeah, because I need that money allocated elsewhere.
Right.
So I'm going to repeal everything but the part that I like, and then that we're going to move around, and that's my budget fantasy plan.
Right. It should actually, he should call his plan the If My Aunt Had a She'd Be My Uncle budget.
Yeah. And it's amazing to me.
And that's covered under Obamacare.
It's amazing to me that people in the media are talking about this plan as if it's an actual, legitimate, workable plan.
Right.
It should just be dismissed on the merits of having no merit.
Yeah. Right. So Ron Johnson said the Affordable Care Act will degrade healthcare services through rationing. He said, I think it's going to explode the deficit. It's going to lead to rationing. It'll lead to rationing lower quality care. There it is again. First of all, the Congressional Budget Office find repealing Obamacare would add $109 billion to the federal deficit, correct?
Yeah. I mean, what they think and what is the truth are two totally different things.
Right.
I mean, you can believe whatever you want. It doesn't make it true.
Right. He said the cost estimate for the law was grossly understated. He argued employers now have a financial incentive to cut workers' hours enough to force them to use the state health care exchanges it will establish.
What?
Also,
no,
monkeys will fly
not,
out my butt.
It's not how it works. Like, people don't seem to understand that that's just not how all of this works. I mean, most people get their insurance through their workplace now, and that's not going to change.
Is monkeys flying out your butt covered
yeah,
by Obamacare?
And then there's a penalty if a company doesn't provide an affordable option, if it has a certain number of employees and a certain payroll standard. And, I mean, there's just – it's a complicated law because we're talking about the healthcare system, and there's provisions in place to make all of this make sense.
Right.
So, it, you know, if you're going to shove your workers out into the exchange for taxpayer-funded subsidies, shouldn't you be required to contribute to that?
Yes.
Yes.
There
no.
you go.
Okay.
So a company has to contribute.
All right. Munch on this. because with those cheekbones, everyone thinks you need a snack. Now,
all for the record, I eat. You have seen me
I
eat, correct?
I have. I kid, of course. Okay. He said, it dramatically increases the demand for health care. 30 million Americans getting health care kind of through a Medicaid-type process, while it dramatically reduces the supply. That's an economic disaster. We're taking $716 billion out of payments primarily to providers. You're reducing supply, increasing demand. That doesn't lower the cost curve. That increases the cost curve.
Okay, weren't you guys just talking about yesterday how the scooter store was ripping off Medicare?
That's right.
Okay,
yes.
That's the $716 billion.
Exactly.
It's the way that people defraud Medicare and take money from the government because they found a way to manipulate the system. That's the kind of stuff that we're getting rid of. People should be in favor of that, not against it.
Yeah.
Especially Republicans should
be
in favor of that.
It's waste. It's fraud, abuse. Yeah. I mean, you want to get into our friend Rick Scott?
Yeah. I was just going to say, nicely done. Nice segment. I was just going to say, speaking of Medicare fraud and abuse, let's talk about Rick Scott.
I'm surprised he didn't own the scooter store.
Yeah.
No, but he did run a hospital group that was fined the largest fine in history at the time for defrauding Medicare.
So what now? Is there some new news?
His middle name.
There you go. Is there some new news with Rick Scott? Or?
There is, actually. Okay. So remember we were talking about how Rick Scott decided that he was going to support the Medicaid expansion for the first 3 years because he just all of a sudden discovered the federal government was going to pay for it. And we had talked about how this was a deliberate move because his poll numbers were in the toilet.
Right.
Well, now Medicaid expansion was rejected by the state Senate in Florida. The House had already rejected it. So essentially it's dead on arrival, and I think Scott knew this.
Well, that's exactly what you said. You're like, I don't buy this whole my mother and oh, I've had this change of heart. You're right. You said he can do this without knowing that it's not going to happen.
Right. And he can say that he supported it knowing full well it's not going to get implemented again. And what this is the greatest part too is what they're proposing now, you're going to love this, is that they get the federal money, but they allocate it to private health insurance plans.
Oy vey.
Yeah. That's what they're proposing. It's the same proposal that they made in Arkansas, that Governor Beebe made in Arkansas, is they want to take all of this federal money that's being allocated for the expansion of Medicaid, and they want to give it to the private health insurance companies to use that as coverage for people. But we already know that that doesn't work, and it's more expensive, because that's what we call Medicare Advantage plans. Mm-hmm. Those are the Medicare plans that are run by private insurance companies, and they're always more expensive than regular Medicare.
Yep.
So we're basically just trying to suck more money out of the federal government again, out of the taxpayer dollar.
Yep. And before we go, is this covered under the Affordable Care Act, Jackie?
Yes.
Story. Man unsure how screwdriver got in his head. Now,
wow. We're talking about the drink or the
tool? No.
Oh, hi. I would definitely know how that kind of screwdriver gets in my head.
Wait, first, was it a flat or Phillips?
You know what? That's a good question. There's no word here. However, it's in Poland. I'm not sure if they have universal health care there.
Oh.
But there is a good Polish joke in here, and I'm Polish, so I should be able to think
okay.
it. Polish doctors say a 25-year-old man has undergone a three-hour operation to remove a screwdriver lodged about 2 inches into his head.
Oh.
Don't you hate when that happens? He apparently fell, lost consciousness. When he regained consciousness, he was at first aware only of pain in his hand. Before realizing something else was wrong, he walked to his car, looked in the mirror, and noticed the screwdriver penetrating his forehead just above his eye.
Ah!
Ow! Do I have a what the heck is in my... Oh, my God!
Perhaps he had too many screwdrivers before he got the access.
There you go. They do like their vodka there.
Duh.
Exactly. All right. Well, Jackie, that's all I have for you. I love you. I love you madly.
I'm working out the screwdriver thing in
my
head.
Oh wait, hang on. We have an Ask Jackie. Hang on 1 second.
Oh, okay.
Irene in Maryland. You're on with Jackie. Hi, Irene.
Hi. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good morning. I have a question for you, Jackie. I'm a senior citizen. I have Medicare, and you know we have to pay something for our Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
And also a supplemental health insurance plan. And I want to know, once all the health care bill is all put in place, would I still need to pay for a health care plan?
You probably will still need to pay for the supplements that you use, the supplemental plans. But the good thing is that the drug costs are going to go down, because right now people fall into that donut hole where you have to pay if you spend a certain amount of money, and then you have to cover the cost of your prescriptions, and then your coverage kicks back in again. That hole is closing. And one of the really good things that's being done by the Affordable Care Act is making sure that you don't have to pay as much for your prescription drugs. So that hole will close. And it also is going to make sure that we mandate what kind of coverage people get for their money, and that there's a continuation of all the benefits. You get your wellness coverage for free, your checkups, that kind of thing. So I think the supplemental plans will still be necessary for all of the coverage that people need, but certainly the cost should go down, especially in terms of prescription drugs.
Well, I wish it would go down for the cost of the supplemental plan, because when I started out paying $130-something a month. Now I'm paying $183. At the end of May, the beginning of June, I'll be paying $190-some a month for the supplemental.
You probably have a supplement through the private insurance companies, right?
It's through United Health.
Yeah, the private company, that's why, because the private companies end up jacking up the rates as much as they possibly can. I don't know what the specific regulations are for Medicare under the Affordable Care Act, but I think that there probably will be the same rate regulations that there are in the private insurance market for everybody else, too. So have to take a closer look at that. But MedicareRights.org is a really good organization, and they have a lot of information about that.
All right, honey. Thank you. Let's go. Let's take one more quick one for Jackie. Craig in Minnesota. You're on with Jackie. Hi, Craig.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Go ahead.
You guys are great.
Thank you.
The rights come up with now the survival guide to Obamacare for the people on the right who want to survive this tragedy that we have.
Yes.
You
need to move to Glenn Becky Stan. It's the only. Will they have their own health care? That's the only answer.
Yeah, it's like they don't get that this is a good program. They just seem to think that it's something evil that's going to destroy America, and they are in their own little lost world.
Yeah,
I wish it were what they dream it is. Yeah,
you know, I had a conversation on the Young Turks last week with the gentleman from Florida, from the Tea Party in Florida, and he said, you know, he doesn't believe in the Medicaid expansion because he doesn't want to pay for other people. And we didn't have the chance to talk about was the fact that, well, you know, just
that's what insurance is.
Well, you know, why should that money be allocated, taxpayer money, all of that stuff? And what I didn't have the chance to say to him was, you pay now.
Right.
When people are uninsured and they go to the emergency room and they can't pay their bills, we foot that bill now.
I don't know why. Jackie, that's such a good point. I don't know why people miss that basic point all the time with that whole I don't want to pay for other people argument. I mean,
we already pay that. And if you're fiscally responsible, you'd want to bring the cost of that down, because people could go then see a doctor as opposed to having to go to the emergency room where you're paying $1.50 for a 15-cent Tylenol.
Yep, absolutely. All right.
Obamacare socialism, Kenya.
Exactly. A spectacular health care corner.
Yes, it was.
Thank you, Angel.
You're very welcome.
Would you?
You hang up first.
I'll see you at the top of the hour. Okay, bye.
Bye.
God.
Shut up, both of you. 19. How much do you make everything in my life dirty?
Well.
19 minutes after the, just because I'd like to make it that.
Yeah. Oh, God. You're going to call her and apologize for that during the break.
We're friends. Okay, 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com at the bottom of the hour. In just a few minutes, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ann in Texas on the Budget Munster. Hi, Ann.
Hi, thanks. I love your program.
Thank
I watch
you.
It every morning.
Thank
I'm
you.
A senior that didn't vote for Republicans.
Yep.
And I would like for you to know that Ted Cruz and Paul Ryan look like the villain in Bullwinkle. And I want him to do the voices.
All right, thank you. Oh, all right.
The villain.
Jim, get on that.
Bullwinkle.
Not thinking of Dishonest Sadly, John, are you?
No, that's Dishonest John was Beanie and Cecil.
Yeah.
Donna
in Snidely
Texas.
Whiplash?
I think so.
Donna in
Hi,
Texas.
Stephanie.
Hi, Donna.
Listen, I just got up this morning and started reading that Time article, that 27-page Time article. Now, I know the Republicans don't have enough time to read 27 pages.
No, that's too much.
But even regular people should read this article. It's by Stephen Brill, Bitter Pill, Why Medical Bills Are Killing Us. You will not believe the kind of money that these hospital CEOs and the people who are GE and Siemens. I mean, this is the biggest scam. It puts the oil and gas company and pro sports to shame. The kind of money that they are duping the American taxpayer. And I don't know why Ryan wants to get rid of Medicare, because he's making more money off of it than anybody.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
I know.
Please ask all your listeners to read this, and then we need to get together and do some major protest or something.
Yeah, somebody was making the it's like losing whatever general loses a war, showing up with a list of demands.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
what?
Yeah.
Here's my plan to get rid of Obamacare and Medicaid. What? No,
no,
you just lost. Derek in Denver, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Derek.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was calling because I noticed he cited that he wanted to keep interest rates low in his budget to spur growth, but, I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous because they've been low for years and years now.
Yeah, yeah, he's going to take credit for that now. You know what would be a good
idea?
Oh, are you?
And, I'm also.
Are you calling from Chuck E. Cheese? Hello.
Sorry, I'm outside walking with my son.
That's all right.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it's demand that spurs the economy. People, I mean, interest rates can be low forever, but if you don't have money to spend on goods and services, it's not going to spur the economy at all.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I love that. He's taking credit for that now. You know what I think would be magic? If we had low interest rates. Oh, we do. Well, look what I did. All right. Michael Bloomberg, yesterday, the judge overturned the ban on the...
On the huge sugary drinks.
Right.
Yes.
We believe that the judge's decision was clearly in error and that we will prevail on appeal.
He went on to say this.
If we are serious about fighting obesity, we have to be honest about what causes it, and we have to have the courage to tackle it head on.
Isn't an appeal like free refills? It's kind of,
yes, exactly. Well, I have to say, though, we are a nation of fat bastards. We need to do something about it. It is a huge
way
problem.
Way too much sugar. And
yeah. No, I understand the whole nanny state thing and how can, you know, you can just get refills. But, you know, the fact is,
I realize when
look at the smoking ban he did.
Right.
A lot of people were dying of secondhand smoke. It's like, you know, I get what he's doing.
Yeah, but people don't have a choice not to breathe in secondhand smoke or not. People have a choice to whether to drink their own sugary beverages.
Right. But I noticed when we moved to Germany that the soft drinks and everything had much less sugar in it.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
And I lost weight almost instantly.
But I don't think the way to cure that is
soccer,
pass a law.
But right.
You know.
No, but I mean, yeah, again, but when you have free refills, you're not really doing anything.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce, Esquire.com, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She used to be a strong, smart, beautiful woman. Why did she transform herself into that baby hooker?
Really?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. It's Tuesday, our favorite day.
There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie. Happy Pick a Pope Day to you.
Thank you. It is kickoff. We are lining up for kickoff. You are looking live at the outside of the Vatican Palace.
Yeah, we are actually.
I wanted to pick the name Pope Super Bowl 15 myself, but I don't think it's good.
You're a scamp.
No, I tuned in yesterday, and the first thing I heard was you and Melissa Fitzgerald having a pillow fight in your room because you used the old "I only have one TV" trick. And then
right.
I started hearing about man moments. I wanted to throw a raincoat over y'all.
Things are a little steamy yesterday. All right,
got a fire hose on that studio. I'm telling you.
Yes, we were a little randy yesterday, and Jim missed it.
I missed the whole thing.
Where was Jim? Did you lock him out of the room?
I had.
He had a real job.
I had a couple of lines on. General Hospital.
Yeah.
Were you like the voice on the intercom?
Yeah.
Were you really?
Really? You had to miss the whole show for that? Really? All right. Charlie Pierce, things in Politico that make me want to guzzle antifreeze, part the infinity.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable. You talk about the pod people. The stories are getting more pod-worthy as you read them. The harmony is quite startling on the general theme that the president has failed to make nicey-nice enough to the Republicans who lost that election last fall that didn't really count because Nate Silver might be gay or something. That's pretty much sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that, I think there are miscalculations having been made on both sides. I really do believe that. But this whole, just if you do a little bit more, if you showed some leadership, then like John Boehner would make sense or Eric Cantor would become an honest broker or some other such nonsense. People really believe that. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, you say the sequester was a terrible idea because the president fundamentally misapprehended the depth of Republican nihilism, not because he hasn't waltzed on the Truman balcony with Barbara Mikulski.
Yeah, that was one story that, senatorial Democrats don't like him either because he hasn't reached out to them enough.
Right.
I don't know what – you're a senator of the United States. You need your hand held?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, that's what I don't get is if you only had more meals, I'm sure the Republicans would change their whole philosophy, right?
Well, I mean, I forget who somebody else wrote it yesterday, but it's true. It's like we're wandering through 2009 all over again. There wasn't an election last fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. I mean, somebody was saying you wrote a great piece, of course, about Paul Ryan, but it's like the losing general in a battle presenting his demands. What? What? No,
yeah,
you just lost those.
We've got you right where we want you now.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, did you know today was Mitt Romney's birthday?
No, I did not.
Aww. It is. I believe it is his 66th birthday.
Oh, Mittens.
He's just the right age.
Even, right at the moment, in fact, I'm writing a birthday tribute.
Oh.
To our former governor.
That's sweet.
Oh,
that's
yes.
Sweet. By the way.
Stop it.
Yes. you said best what we've been trying to say all morning about this Paul Ryan stuff. You say, can we please, for the love of blog, now stop treating Paul Ryan, the zombie-eyed Granny Starper from Wisconsin, and first runner-up in the most recent vice presidential pageant like he knows about the national economy to throw a cat, as my old Irish gran used to say? This is what I keep saying. Why do we keep – they just will not drop the storyline, right, that he's a serious, thoughtful
guy. And Chris Wallace, who, is no friend of the administration, Ryan said, Wallace said, look, your budget depends on Obamacare being repealed.
Right.
And then Ryan said, yes. And Wallace said, well, that's not going to happen. And Ryan said, well, we think it should.
Great. Perfect.
Absolutely. You know all the money in the vault in the bank where I go every week? I think that should be in my pocket.
I do, too. Again, you sum it up brilliantly. You say, in other words, Ryan and Republican leaders started off opposing the ACA's Medicare cuts, then turned around and twice passed budgets that kept them, then campaigned against those cuts in the 2012 election and are now embracing them again.
Yeah, that's what Josh Marshall called a 720-degree flip-flop.
Right. Yes.
If you say, it's at Talladega, a 720-degree spin is generally when parts of the cars start flying into the stands, injuring the spectators.
People have won gold medals at the Olympics for less than that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's one of those things Sean White does in midair,
A flying tomato, exactly.
Tomate volante.
Right. We've been pointing out the budget will include the tax hikes from the fiscal cliff.
I don't believe Jim Ward actually knows the Italian for
that. Yeah, of course he does.
That is really sad.
Well, it rhymes better than flying tomato.
That's true.
And then
I ordered that last week, in fact.
The other thing you obviously write about is the reemergence of Jebby, the smart one, as we apparently we call him.
That's a low bar for smarts in that family.
No Marvin, no Shemp, no Gummo.
You say, for nothing more than political advantage of the idiot brother he helped cheat into the White House, Governor Jeb Bush of Florida made a family tragedy. You're talking about the Schiavo thing, which we've talked to you about many times, into a political freak show during which people whose shoes neither he nor any member of his family full of political zombies are worthy to shine were done considerable damage. And you know, it's like we forget the, you know, the details of this whole story, right?
Oh, it was a terrible thing, and he was right in the middle of it. He was doing it to get his brother a talking point for the 2004 election. And I spent, you know, in the course of doing the last book, I spent, you know, a couple of days with the folks actually working in the hospice, and their lives were made a living hell by this.
Yeah.
And it didn't have to happen.
Right, by his grandstanding. And you say, I hope Michael Schiavo makes a television commercial that airs in every market in America telling the country the exact worth of Jeb's contribution to his life and that of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, all the Bushes have problems. Poppy has Iran-Contra. Neil has the teenage Thai hookers. You know, right. George has everything.
George has everything he's ever done.
And Jeb has Michael Schiavo. I mean, they all have their doppelgangers. They all are pursued through history, through their own, you know, by the ghosts of their own selfishness. And
yeah.
I hope the same thing happens to Jeb.
Well, and you also
plus the fact that this whole immigration thing is just hilarious.
Right. You say that he's been the first man since Charles Barkley to claim he's been misquoted in his own book. I love, like, what's the point of buying the book? It's like, oh, well, that was in a book, and that was written a while ago.
Yeah, I wrote that.
Right.
I didn't write that book 10 minutes ago. I wrote that book last year when everything was different.
Yeah.
And this position might cost me something. So now I don't hold the position anymore.
And then you also, honed in on my favorite moment when he said, so my guess is history will be kind to my brother. The further out you get from this, and the more people compare his tenure to what's going on now, I think history will be kind to George W. Bush.
Right.
Oh heavens.
And Hitler was a wonderful dancer.
And, of course, as only Charlie Pierce can write, my favorite line of the week, and Cleo, muse of history, looks thoughtfully at a bottle of drain cleaner and wonders if she shouldn't flavor it with just a touch of cream de mint.
Cleo is an old friend of the blog, actually, because Cleo is treated very roughly in our national discourse these days. What is he thinking?
I know.
First of all, there's no polling data to support this. Even if there were, it wouldn't be true.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
History has had its verdict, and it didn't take long.
So do you think it seems to me
George Bush is sort of Jody Arias in this scenario.
Yeah, exactly. So you think he's running?
Oh, yeah. At the moment, I think he is. I don't know that he'll finally come to the conclusion that he's going to, but I think at the moment he's certainly acting like he is.
Yeah, you know why?
And everybody's running now.
You know why I thought so? Contact lenses.
Really?
Saying, wasn't wearing the glasses, I'm just saying. You know, sprucing himself up.
There's a lot of sprucing to be done there.
Oh, yeah.
It's
taking more than contact lenses.
It's going to take Mitt Romney's whole yard crew, to be honest with you.
Stop it.
All right. Charlie Pierce, great stuff as always. Talk to you next. Oh, well, Hal will talk to you next week. We'll be on vacation.
Yeah, somebody will talk. You guys are on vacay, huh?
Right. Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
We're not. You're on a need-to-know basis. We'll tell you later.
I'm having a staycation. Yeah.
All right.
Me too.
I want more pictures of Chris LaVoy on Facebook standing on the top of a mountain.
Okay. You got it.
All right.
See ya.
Bye.
All right. Bye, honey. Hal will talk to you next week.
Yes. By the way, I think the character from Boris and Natasha, the woman I was thinking of, is Fearless Leader.
Yes.
The dictator of the fictional country of Pottsylvania.
Oh, there
Fearless
you go.
Fearless Leader.
Oh,
voiced by Leon Askin, who was also in Hogan's Heroes.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
Okay.
All right. Jolanta in St. Paul. Hello, Jolanta.
Hi, Stephanie. Oh, my God. Hi, happy Tuesday.
Oh,
how are you?
Hi, good.
Happy Tuesday.
First, I want to say I really love your Screaming Goats. If you do the Taylor Swift Screaming Goat, by the way, that's like the best one.
Which one?
The Taylor Swift Screaming Goat one.
Yes.
I wanted to tell you that's my favorite.
Okay.
And I had a comment that I wanted to talk to you that one of your callers had mentioned about losing weight and when you go overseas, because when I went over to London, I noticed when I walked into a McDonald's.
Well, because the food sucks in London. That's why.
I went over there and I ordered an actual small cup of Coke, and they gave me a small size. And you come over here, they shove you a large Coke just in front of your face. And like, what is this? If we're trying to lose weight in this country, I think it's, you know, it's an incentive that I think that Mrs. Obama is doing such a wonderful job in trying to push the fitness in all
right.
the schools. I never had that when I came here. When I came here, I was a skinny kid, and now it's like, how did I lose myself to getting into such a big weight gain.
Well, yeah, when people scoff at this, it's like it is a huge problem. They use it as a way to make fun of Michelle Obama, and it's a huge problem.
Well, I think the way Michelle Obama is going about it is the right way to go about it. I don't think passing laws and bringing the hammer down on an entire city is the way to do it, because then you just breed resentment.
But part of the problem is just the factory farming and how all the animals are filled full of growth hormone, and we're consuming that.
Yeah.
So
you mean animals like goats?
All right, there you go.
She asked for it. I queued it up.
Thank you. I love life summed up. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't go to fast food places anymore, but I used to, and I remember, do we still have Del Taco here?
We do.
Because I remember ordering a large iced tea, and you needed to strap that to your roof rack. I mean, that's...
Well, if you get
iced... Do we really need drinks that big?
If you get iced tea, that doesn't
have
any...
It was like a bucket of popcorn. It was that big.
But it doesn't have any sugar or anything in it.
Unless it's already...
Sweetened. It was sweetened. Yeah.
Probably high fructose corn syrup.
Right.
Then you deserve what you get when you get sweetened iced tea.
Screw you. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, Representative Joe Courtney of the great state of Connecticut coming up next hour to check on all things budget and sequester, etc.
Yeah.
All right. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. George in Florida. Hi, George.
Yes. Yes, Stephanie.
Hi, George.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm wanting to know whether or not what we're seeing is just a repeat of the billionaire Republicans' playbook. During the primary, we were given distractions like Herman Cain and other things while the states passed those voter restriction laws.
Yep.
I'm really wondering what the Republicans are up to now in the states while they go ahead and have Ryan out here getting all the attention for talk shows.
If you're paying attention to some of the gun laws and abortion restrictions, that's what they're up to in the states.
Yeah.
Really great ideas. Is it wrong to love a headline that says anti-gay cardinal sleeping above the biggest gay sauna in Europe?
Oh, really?
It's Pick a Pope Day. An apartment building in Rome is currently occupied by Cardinal Evan Dias. He's my favorite. He's good.
Mm. Evan?
Home to the biggest Evan? Gay sauna in Europe. I don't know. Ivan.
Ivan.
Cardinal Ivan.
Is it spelled I-V-A-N?
Dias. Right.
That's pronounced Ivan. You said Evan.
Ivan in
Russian. Who cares? Really? Okay. The socially conservative cardinal who previously served...
His middle name is Stephen, so it works out. Yeah.
Even Stephen.
Ivan! Cardinal Ivan, fine. Okay, the socially conservative cardinal who previously served as Archbishop of Bombay...
Bombay.
I thought we call it Mumbai now.
It's called Mumbai. They have not called it Bombay in a long time.
They haven't called it Bombay in like 30 years.
Calling Dr. Bombay.
Have you tried turning off your modem?
What? Which key do I hit? Any key? Any
press
key?
Press any key.
I don't see an any key.
No.
Is there a key that says
there
any?
There are keys on your keyboard.
Uh-huh.
Any one of them, if you press it, that is the one which we are working.
Is it near delete?
Okay, delete.
Okay. That was our little
No, it's closer to tech support skit.
It was me calling tech support.
You know what? When she calls me for tech support, that's exactly how she sounds.
Yeah, by the way, you're really late, and you're not getting that screener of Silver Linings Playbook, because you are late doing my tech support. I told you I need to get the pictures out of my iPhone and printed from of my mom's 90th birthday, and I don't know how to do it. Help me. Okay.
Somebody please help me.
The socially conservative cardinal, by the way, has described homosexuality as an unnatural tendency and disease of the soul. He's the one that lives right above
the sauna.
It's probably by accident. House. He probably didn't know. Yeah. He probably didn't know it was there.
Yeah. He goes down to the bathhouse for a meal, for a bite.
Right. Andy in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Andy.
Hello.
Hello.
I was thinking there are probably a lot of reasons why the media treats Paul Ryan as a heavyweight. I can't go into them all, but a few off the top of my head would be Louis Gohmert, Ted Cruz, Michelle Bachmann. You know, when you have
right, compared to the rest of the doofuses, you mean, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. I hear you. By the way, in a completely unrelated story to that last story I just did, disgraced former Senator Larry Craig, Senator White Stance.
What do you think of that?
Bad boy.
No, I'll use that in a second. Attorneys for disgraced former Senator Larry Craig, who famously blamed his 2007 sex arrest on a White Stance.
Let me be clear.
Right, that guy.
I am not gay.
No.
I never have been gay.
Never? Not even a little?
I love my wife.
All right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
His attorneys were questioned by a federal judge Monday over his use of campaign funds for his legal defense in the airport bathroom sting. Craig argues he properly used the $217,000 in campaign funds for his defense because he was traveling between Idaho and Washington for work at the time of the arrest.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It was work-related, White Stance. U.S. District Court judge said threw cold water on that claim, pointing to a letter Craig's lawyers wrote to the Senate Ethics Committee that described the arrest as purely personal conduct unrelated to the performance of official Senate duties.
Yeah.
Jim refers to our favorite moment when he whipped out the card and gave it to the undercover cop and said, I am a United States Senator. What do you think of that?
To which the cop replied,
I think there's going to be a lot of unfortunate publicity. That's what I think of that.
I think you're going to the pokey.
Yes. So to speak,
so to
as
speak.
It were.
The FEC wants Craig to return the money to his campaign and pay fines of up to $6,500 because he's been a bad boy, a bad, bad,
bad boy.
Bad, nasty, naughty.
You're a naughty boy.
He used to be disciplined like the barbarian.
Nasty, naughty boy.
He needs to be disciplined like the barbarian that he is. Perhaps they could bring in Marcus
Buckman. Barbarians need to be disciplined.
Right, maybe.
We have to understand, barbarians need to be educated.
Right.
They need to be disciplined.
Right.
My friend Jeff.
He also loves his wife,
yes,
Michelle Buckman.
He does.
And if you don't believe me, you are a bastard person.
My friend Jeff in D.C.
Yes.
Says that the cardinal that lives above the sauna.
Yes.
Says he goes down to the sauna to get a protein shake.
What?
Right. Maybe they have
Jeff,
like a juice bar
sure.
there.
Jeff, back to work in D.C.
They have a juice bar there. Okay. You know.
Sure.
A healthy
a
stuff.
Shake. You can get a sugar.
A protein
right.
shake.
Right. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why, look at this. In another completely unrelated story. Gay Republican group leader plots a campaign against Senator Lindsey Graham, well-known Southern Belle.
Oh, my stars.
And garters.
Yeah, the
and
both of
clutches
them.
Pearls.
Hmm.
I wonder if Larry Craig's ever gotten a pearl necklace for his wife. His wife that he loves.
My wife?
I bet you he was looking to buy a pearl necklace in the airport.
I love my wife.
You can buy jewelry, and you know, when you have free time, that's probably
sure.
what he was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure you can get a pearl necklace at the airport.
He misunderstood.
Ask
he said, where
Billy
can
Gibbons
I get a pearl
that.
Necklace for my wife, who I love very much.
He just went into the wrong door.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Right. Okay.
He went in through the outdoor.
Right.
What? It's an album. It's a Led Zeppelin album.
GOP proud Vice Chairman Bruce Carroll announced on his blog Monday he has resigned from the organization while he mulls over running against incumbent Southern Belle Lindsey Graham.
Oh, my stars. I'll be on the fighting couch.
You just fill in whatever in your own.
Yeah.
Oh, guess who else is thinking of running? Mitt Romney's brother. We can't get enough of the.
Targ, Flurn?
Targ.
No,
Flom?
Not Targ, or Flurn, or Fling.
Flarsen.
Or Flunkherken. Or Huffar. None of them.
Huffar.
No, not that guy. Scott.
There's a Scott?
Yeah, Scott Romney,
not
older brother.
Cuff
of Mitt.
Or Flink? Or
no.
Snurg?
No. Snurg was my first
Scorf
one. That's who I was betting on. I thought Snurg would be the next one up the chute, politically speaking. But no, Fleagle, Scott Romney.
Sneagle, Flurgle, and what were the right. banana splits? Were there?
Right.
Names? Or whatever.
Older brother of Mitt is reportedly thinking about running for the Senate seat in Michigan of retiring Democrat Carl Levin. Levin.
Levin.
I always say that
you
wrong.
You always say
okay.
it wrong. You've
right.
never
anyway.
Said it right in your entire life.
All right. Sorry, that last name just threw me off. Just my snurg. Okay. Hermagerd. 58. Herp. Herp derp Romney. He's running, I think, in New Hampshire.
Oh, no, he's got to be smarter than Mitt.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
This is the voice I used on General Hospital yesterday.
Is it really?
No, it is not,
I didn't think
Jim.
So. Oh, we're getting some tweets wondering when that's going to air.
I have no idea.
Okay.
All right. That's why Jim was gone missing yesterday. All right, and he's back. Yay! Hey, we need to, Friday, we should make it Beer Cart Friday here.
Yeah,
employees at a Florida healthcare company are allowed to drink on the company's tab on company time thanks to a perk known as Beer Cart Fridays.
Hmm. You're the boss, make this happen.
Let's do it.
Beer Cart Friday. What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer.
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer.
I could kiss and hug it,
beer.
But I'd rather chuck it.
Beer.
Got my belly out to here.
Beer.
I could not refuse it.
Beer.
I could really use a beer.
Beer. Beer.
All right, Travis.
I'm rooting for Flirtini.
Flirtini Fridays are canceled. We're making it Beer Cart Friday.
You're the boss. You can make this happen, you know.
Yeah, we're canceling Flirtini Friday. Forget it. Hey, speaking of beers, drink up. It's Mitt Romney's birthday, everybody.
When you say Mitt, you pick the one who'll say whatever he must say.
Yeah.
When you say Mitt, you've chose the man who is the absolute flip-floppiest.
When you say Mitt, you've said the word that means you have no spine at all.
When you say Mitt, it means you want the man who's got no plan, just wants to win.
When you say Mitt, you pick the one who knows when he has seen pancakes. When you say Mitt, you tell the world you'll use your vote to help the very rich. There is no sympathy, Mitt really can't care less, because the 1% is screwing all the rest.
Yeah.
When you say douche,
you said it all.
An oldie but goodie from the campaign. Thank you, kids. All right. Emma writes, Steph, I am so looking forward to the April 13th Sexy Liberal Tour performance in Chicago at Chicago Theater of the Body. I'm a dedicated Steph head. I have meet and grow ticket, my green pashmina, and a box of Chardonnay. I think I'm ready. Look forward to seeing you, John Howell, in Chicago next month. Emma. Yeah.
Well, hiya, Sandy. Yeah. Hey, I heard some real great news today on the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right.
You know that gorgeous hunk of a man, Chris?
Yeah.
Chris LaVoy? Well, he's coming to the Sexy Liberal Show, too.
Oh, yeah, don't say.
Oh,
sexy
God.
Liberals everywhere.
There's a sea of sexy liberals everywhere.
With Stephanie and Hal Fox too. John Fugel saying he's gonna meet and grow with you. Come on now.
I am so excited, I might even shave my legs.
Oh,
sexy
wow.
Sexy liberals celebrate and have a good time.
You betcha. You
betcha.
Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is making its way to the Midwest. Yes, Chicago, here they come.
There's a party over there.
It is going to be a good time, don't you know?
April 13th in Chicago!
Woo!
All right, speaking of parties, happy Pick a Pope Day, everybody. Drink if you got them.
I think it's time for the first Jewish pope. I think it's
that'll work.
I think
yeah.
so too. Julie tweets, "Dear media, no one really cares which old white man marinated in yesterday's prejudices gets to wear the funny hat and red slippers." That's true. Jim said that last week. He's like, "My
yeah. Why
care.
Is there wall-to-wall coverage of this?"
I don't really care. Okay. All right. We're taking a quick phone call. Why? Because Kalen's 9.
Oh, that's totes adorbs.
Kalen in Memphis. Hi, Kalen. Hi.
Oh.
Hi. What's going on?
Grahams is the prettiest, prettiest Southern princess of them all.
Lindsey Graham is the prettiest princess.
Oh, dear. All right, Kaylin.
Do you really think that, Kaylin?
That's totes.
I do.
Okay. All right. Kaylin, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. Oh.
Wow.
I'm not sure that was entirely right on any level. Okay. All right, then. Love this headline. Woman sues church for refusing to display her dead husband's NASCAR-themed couch-shaped tombstone. Get religious people. I know it's Pick a Pope Day. Could be very uptight. Shannon Carr's late husband, Jason, loved watching NASCAR and the Indianapolis Colts from his favorite couch. So when he died a couple of years ago, his wife decided a fitting tribute would be a $9,600 couch-shaped tombstone engraved with the color logos of the Colts and NASCAR. a lovely touching gesture, maybe, but certainly not according to those in charge of the Catholic cemetery where Jason is now buried. Mm. Regardless of the outcome, Henry Carr, Shannon Carr's father-in-law, is sure of one thing. He'll now be taking his dead corpse's business elsewhere. He said, I haven't been back to St. Joseph, and I've been asked that I not be buried there along with my son. So there, making a statement.
There are just some days where I just hate America.
How can you say you that on America? CPAC week, for God's sake? God. Speaking of NASCAR, it's CPAC week.
Thursday through Saturday.
American NRA sanctioned.
It's the annual CPAC National Showdown.
Name calling, podium pounding conservatives.
Speaking at over 200 miles per hour. Coke, Chevron, ExxonMobil, and Citibank sponsor Neocon Nitro Fuel. The bonnet arrangement syndrome explodes off the starting line. Thursday through Saturday. Saturday. Come see
Newt, the Snake Gingrich.
Bobby, the Mongoose Jindal.
Mitch, the Turtle McConnell.
Mitt, the Dancing Horse Romney.
Marco, Big Gulp Rubio.
Jim, nobody's gay in my family, so climate change isn't the only thing I'm denying. Inhofe.
Rand, Atlas Turned and Coughed Paul.
Eric, Bitch Face Cantor.
Wade, Good Guy with Gun Money LaPierre.
Sarah, I can see irrelevance from my house. Palin.
Come and listen to my story about a man named Jeb Bush.
Alan, I'm the only black guy. West.
Paul Ryan, TV's Eddie from the Munsters.
Plus, Butch Patrick. TV's Eddie from the Munsters.
Free balloons for the kids and much more.
At the annual CPAC National.
Take 101 to the Slauson Cutoff. Get out of your car and cut off your Slauson.
Thursday through Saturday.
Saturday.
Mitt Romney requests that you not bring your camera.
Oh, there is no Slauson.
There's the 101 does goes nowhere near Slauson.
The Slauson Cutoff is no longer exists.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. That was when Johnny Carson made that
and
joke.
And CPAC, of course, during the same week when there's just the Republicans in an epic fight, as you know.
Yes.
Pam Geller says they didn't invite her because of the Sharia. They're practicing the Sharia by keeping her out.
Well, you got to practice it. You know.
On one side, you got Rand Paul and Rush and Sean and Newt.
Apparently,
the other side, you got McCain and his Southern Belle, Lindsey Graham.
Apparently, any group that doesn't want to hear from Pam Geller is practicing Sharia.
Right. Sharia. But no, not Sharia. The Sharia.
The Sharia.
The Sharia.
I wonder if the Donald practices the Sharia.
It's huge. Huge right. Sharia.
Anyway, on Friday, Rand Paul told Mike Huckabee he does not believe he's ever done anything that merits McCain calling him a wacko.
But
he said, I treat Senator McCain with respect. I don't think I always get the same in return.
There's just a lot of butthurt feelings in the Senate today, aren't there?
John McCain had said last week of Paul's filibuster, I also think when, you know, it's always the wacko birds on the right and left that get the media megaphone.
The wacko birds?
Yeah. That's what he said.
Is that a thing?
That's an old man.
Apparently.
Cheese and crackers. It's a bunch of wacko birds. My Jiminy Christmas.
Stars and garters.
His stars and Lindsey Graham's garters.
Yeah.
Do I think Joe Lieberman's just doing this to get John McCain's attention because he's paying too much attention to his Southern Belle and not Joe Lieberman anymore, who used to be his wingman? Joe Lieberman has joined a conservative think tank. That's weird. I thought he was a devoted Democrat and then an independent.
Huh.
He's Joe Lieberman, too.
Right. He's joined the American Enterprise Institute.
Whatever.
Something thing. Okay.
He likes to listen to both sides.
Right. He is a small business owner that has just stumbled across the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Nancy. You're on this. Nancy in Buffalo. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Well, the thing I wanted to talk about is what they're up to in the States.
What you had said is true, but the two main things that they're up to are privatization and destroying the unions, and that's the Republican Governors Association. That's what they're all about.
Yeah, Nancy, I that's a good point that you're making. A caller made earlier is, you know, despite the fact we won the election, we have the White House, we have the Senate. You're absolutely right. A lot of the stuff that they're doing in Republican states, Rude Pundit is good at this. Seriously, not just privatization, union busting, vote suppression. Egregious abortion laws, gun laws. I mean, Georgia just passed this law, right, that everyone must have a gun? Is that the in one of the towns there?
Yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that, oh, more mentally ill. I think arming up the more the mentally ill.
Also,
everybody must get stoned.
Right. Right. Bill in Albany. Hi, Bill.
Oh, Stephanie,
Hello. Mama,
give me some love. I'm mortified. Today is my 25th anniversary, and you just found out that it's Mitch's birthday.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to have ruined it for you.
We're going to take our vows tomorrow.
You're going to change
your vows? Yes, we're going to renew our vows tomorrow.
Something else Mitch has ruined. Why? See, this is why we can't have nice things.
That's right.
All right. One more before the break. Denise in Chicago. Hi, Denise.
Hey, Steph. Hello. I called you a couple times ago, a while ago. I want a gift card from you from Pro Flowers, so thank you. My niece's 21st birthday was awesome.
Thank you.
And you get better and better every day.
Thank you.
I just wanted to bring up a point because you're tending to go towards, you know, some insights into what Bloomberg is doing, and I'm in the food industry. And I was just at a meeting with PhDs from the world's best food industry and companies here in Chicago. And I got to tell you, you know, we're educated. We get it. We know what's right and wrong. We have that insight. But do people really have the education to know what's right for them? And I don't want to get to the main point is that, you know, Bloomberg deals with New York City. He's got a lot of stuff. And I'm being kind there to deal with day-to-day basis. What food does to you and what you need to know about it later in life and then the insurance that we have to pay for people who don't have the education to make the right choices. I don't think he's well off. We can give him a hard time that he got confused on his messaging. Everybody makes mistakes, but bottom line, you know.
Well, I mean, he sure is right on guns and he's right on secondhand smoke. You know, I understand the controversy over this latest one, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm about choice. I mean, my first thought was, you can't tell me what size cup I'm going to buy. You know,
our inner screamy toddler comes out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hello, give me excuse me, can I say frickin'?
Frickin'
break.
Yes.
You know, give me a frickin' break. But like I said, you know, I sat next to PhDs last night who work for Kellogg's, Conagra, Nestle, all these guys, Coca-Cola, all of them. I mean, but today is a different world, and we need to catch up. So my message is, let's get people educated on what's right and wrong. It's going to take time, and maybe eventually, you know, we'll reduce interest rates in our and we can get to the right.
Well, here's a start. So, you shouldn't be drinking sodas the size of your garbage can, you morons.
You could have, like, 16 little Dixie cups of, you know, high fructose corn syrup.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, right back. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
This was so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour.
Wow. You stepped on my toe. Ow.
Ow. Everybody.
Everybody stepped on his toe.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Joe in Minnesota. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I've got to say I'm with Bloomberg on this one. I'm in my mid-40s, and when I was a kid, you know, a 12-ounce soda was the biggest you got.
Right.
And that was plenty, you know, and I remember a number of years ago when IKEA first came to the States, there was a thing on the news.
With their horse balls?
No, not the horse balls, oddly enough.
Yes.
No, Americans were buying all the pitchers and using them as glasses because they just weren't big enough for our fat asses.
Oh, okay.
All right. You'd think that Bloomberg could outlaw this. Have you seen the show My Strange Addiction?
Yes.
My Strange Addiction.
That's one where the girl eats hair and
right. This
other
woman
things.
Has eaten more than 50 rubber tires.
It's called pica or pica or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you want to eat
there
clay
was a woman who ate Vicks VapoRub. This subject, 19-year-old Allison, eats tire shavings.
Yeah.
Ew.
And she's eaten 50 tires.
Right. Eesh. Her boyfriend works at a tire plant,
ironically enough,
and the shavings he brings home feeds her addiction. He's against her munching on these chemical delights, but seems to have not figured out that he'd be able to curb her habit by simply not bringing rubber tires home. Neither of them the brightest bulbs.
No. She's making sure that her stomach is inflated to the proper
maybe
pressure.
That's the only way he gets any. Honey!
I'm sure he makes
tires?
Sure of that.
Hey. I ain't putting out unless I get tires for dinner.
Oh.
Wow-wee. In other restaurant news, best restaurant in the world offers ants, roe, and horrible diarrhea illness.
Oh!
Noma. It's a famously exclusive 2-Michelin-star restaurant in Copenhagen. Yeah. It offers a 12-course tasting menu for $880. You know what you get for that?
Norovirus.
Right? that's what you get. I'm sorry, what? Hello?
I think we may have lost
Noma,
one of the stars.
At this point. Noma, yeah, you think so? It got buried in... Okay. Noma topped the world's best restaurants in 2010, 11, and 12.
Not
according
so much
to Danish health authorities, more than 60 people fell ill. With vomiting and diarrhea after feasting at Noma last month, thanks, it is believed, to a sick kitchen employee who was tainting all the food.
I just think I'm going to burp.
What was he doing to taint all the food?
I don't know. Well, I don't even want to know. I don't want to know what kind of tainting that was.
Oh.
In a completely unrelated story about the gay sauna that the cardinal lives above, this is my favorite new headline. It's Pick a Pope Day, Chris.
It is. It is. So we're talking religious things today.
Catholic officials break into a sweat over news that priests share a $23 million building with huge gay sauna. I talked about this earlier. A day ahead of the papal conclave.
Papal, which
is today. Faces at the scandal-struck Vatican or even redder than usual have emerged, as we talked about earlier. This guy lives above Europe's biggest gay sauna. Ivan. Cardinal Ivan.
Cardinal Ivan.
Right. I'm sure
the boys are very familiar with Cardinal Ivan.
The 76-year-old Prince of the Church is what he's known as, or perhaps the Queen.
Princess.
Maybe he's the Queen. Maybe he's not the Prince of the Church anymore. My stars and garters and little red slippers. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, we check in on where we're at with the budget and the sequester and the Flavin with Representative Joe Courtney of the great state of Connecticut. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Actually, I thought it was very well crafted. The perfect combination of dirty and smart.
Stephanie Miller.
Was really quite elegant.
Thank you. Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller
Smarty.
Show. Right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. Representative Nancy Pelosi talking about the president and the whole budget and sequester nonsense.
I've served with a few presidents, two as leader or speaker, and I've never seen the patience, the willingness to listen, to accommodate views as President Obama has extended to the Republicans.
Yes, and then, of course, you have people like Paul Ryan saying things like this.
We believe that Obamacare is a program that will not work. We believe Obamacare will actually lead to hospitals and doctors and healthcare providers turning people away.
Dogs sleeping with cats.
He's relitigating the thing that's already been decided by both an election and the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's check in with Representative Joe Courtney to all of the delightful progress on Capitol Hill. Hello, Joe. Hello, Representative.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well, I those two sound bites sort of show the divergence, right? I mean, we really do have a president that has tried over and over again to come to some sort of a negotiation with Republicans, right? And you have Paul Ryan trying to relitigate the health care bill again.
Although, you know, if you really look at his budget plan closely, I mean, he's actually conceded the changes that the Affordable Care Act made to the Medicare system in terms of increased revenues for, you know, high income Medicare payroll taxes, and actually takes all the Medicare reductions that the bill put into place, but eliminates all the benefits to seniors and people on disabilities. So closing the donut hole, preventive services, you know, again, all the smart changes that really lower costs by you know, wellness and prevention, he eliminates. And so in a way, the president ought to be flattered, you know, that he's actually adopted parts of it. But, of course, it is a completely sort of deformed version of health care policy that we end up with in his plan. And
Congressman, I mean, you saw this exchange on Fox News, of all places, with Chris Wallace, where he said you're presuming the, you know, repeal of, you know, of the Affordable Care Act, and he says yes. And he said, well, that's not going to happen. And he's like, well, we think it should. I mean, I don't understand what's happening. Did we not have an election? Have they not lost both at the ballot box and at the Supreme Court? What is the point of this?
Well, again, there really is a schizoid in a division within the party. I mean, what's interesting is over in the Senate, you're actually having a real grown-up discussion about immigration reform. I mean, that's real. And again, it was in response to the election. I think the smart Republicans realize they have like an existential crisis right now with Hispanic voters, and you know, they are completely, you know, just ruining their future by clinging to the you know, really nasty xenophobic immigration policy. But obviously in the House you still have people who again just refuse to accept what the voters clearly said last November, and again it's just so incredibly wasteful to, as you point out, just relitigate an issue which the voters who weighed in heavily on, and which by the way is actually bearing some really good results in terms of moderating Medicare cost growth and actually producing better outcomes for people, whether it's kids on their parents' policies or children not being excluded. You know, what we ought to be doing is really having, again, a grown-up conversation about implementation. There's going to be some bumps in the road. You know, there was when Medicare was rolled out in 1965. You know, let's focus on that rather than this, you know, just ridiculous blast from the past, which, again, it went nowhere.
Right. Well, exactly. Well, Representative, talk to us about where we're at with whether it's a budget or a sequestration or all of this stuff, because Paul Ryan's budget, I just am like, are you kidding me? This is what you presented, what you ran on, what you lost on. It's, you know, doubling down on all this stuff, right?
It is. I mean, the good news is that, I mean, it looks like the Senate's moving forward on a spending plan for the rest of this fiscal year, which does move the ball forward. It's not my favorite version, but it's certainly one that, you know, I think will pass and can pass in the House hopefully later this week or early next week, and the president will sign it. So we've at least eliminated this sort of government shutdown this year, and you know, given some flexibility in terms of sequestration, but obviously we really should just get that also eradicated, and there's really very good, smart ways to do that. And then the budget plan, which is obviously next year's budget, again, Patty Murray, to her credit, is really working hard to get the Senate to produce a budget plan. That's a good thing. And I think, again, when the people see what she's doing, which protects Medicare, has a balanced approach to deficit reduction versus, you know, again, this just really nasty, harmful, anti-middle class plan that the Republicans are rolling out in the House. You know, again, if nothing else, public opinion should be, I think, re-engaged to be on our side and hopefully get people to move.
Representative Courtney, what about the sequestration? I mean, is there any reasonable chance of stopping this, of undoing it?
You know, my take on it is, and I've been out, you know, home talking to a lot of the affected groups there, is that this thing, unfortunately, looks like it's going to have to really bite a little bit before people are really going to, again, I think, recognize that the dangers of this.
I was reading some numbers the other day, but not only these, you know, great new jobs numbers, the unemployment rate down to 7.7, the housing market coming back, and you just think, oh, just in time, right, for the sequestration to hit.
No, that's right. And, you know, state and local governments are going to, you know, again, be under, you know, unnecessary pressure to, again, continue to downsize, you know, larger classrooms, streets that won't be as safe. You know, Head Start programs where kids are going to be bumped from slots. I mean, I actually talked to a center in my district this last week where that's going to happen. You know, four-year-olds are going to get kicked out of Head Start. You know, those things, unfortunately, my sense is that they actually have to, like I said, bite or happen before people are going to get serious.
Yeah.
About, again, and we could spend another show about easy ways that we could fix this.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's so unnecessary, so manufactured.
Yeah, exactly. From, as the president says, we're lurching from one manufactured crisis to the next.
Yep.
And I just, you know, I guess the last question is there any, I hate to be too happy clappy, is there a reasonable chance we could take the House back? I know there's gerrymandering and all of this stuff, but it just seems like if people get disgusted enough, is there a chance?
Well, I mean, 17 seats, if you look at the swings in the last few elections, actually is not a crazy number. The president has pledged his wholehearted support to the DCCC, which, he had his own issues last election he had to take care of. But that's going to be a big help. And again, I think as the public sort of looks at these guys and gets, more experience with them, I think we're going to have a very powerful argument to take back the House. Pelosi is just, an amazing organizer and fundraiser. Really, she's just remarkable in terms of that effort. She just, continues to produce.
Well, turnout.
Out there, that's right.
In midterms, I know it's always tough, but boy, I just, like I say, it seems to me just in becoming increasingly impossible to govern with this current makeup of the House Republicans.
No, it's true. I mean, the Violence Against Women Act, I think, when it first passed in 94, only one Republican voted no. In 05, when it was reauthorized, two voted no. And then, 2 weeks ago, 138 voted no. I mean, that's, if you want a good sort of gauge of how radicalized the party is, I think that statute really shows it.
Right. Used to be an absolute no-brainer. Representative Courtney, always such a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking time to check in with us. All right.
Yep.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. Oh, well, look who's here. That would be the of balance, what?
Really?
In that Texas.
It's such a good morning.
I know, so I decided to ruin it.
Phone call from the rain.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Just letting go.
Mm-hmm. Philly.
If you want to know how his talking points are strange.
Here we go.
How does he come up with his stuff? How does he? How? Admiracy.
Hello, Billy in Texas.
Good morning.
What's
going on?
Oh, see, you start name calling right away.
Quit being gay. Anyway, look, here's the thing.
What?
Obamacare.
You told me to quit being gay.
Obamacare is a great idea. They're like, it's like a flying car. It looks good on paper, it just won't work.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
And the 32-ounce sodas at Bloomberg, your little guy down in New York.
My little guy? You mean Republican? You mean Republican Michael Bloomberg?
Yeah.
He's a Republican. What do you mean, my little guy?
Well, your little guy, because he's still a little tin-pot dictator like your Marxist Obama is. And,
you're particularly Skeeter-like this morning.
Beers when I was a kid.
Huh?
And I'm alive and well here in deep in the heart of Texas.
You used to have what when you were a kid?
I started with 32 ounces of beer when I was a boy.
Oh, awesome. Well, that makes you extra manly then.
It totally.
Right?
Totally.
All right.
The whole thing is y'all are going around again, misrepresenting what's going on in this in this country with Obama.
Well, that's what we Marxists do.
Well, that's exactly.
Right?
Boy, aren't you right?
Right. Thank you. All right. See, we finally agree. Isn't that magical? It was particularly weird.
That was weird.
It's just weird. Okay. All right. Let's.
Your little guy.
Apparently, Michael Bloomberg's my little guy.
Republican.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Republican Michael Bloomberg. All right. This is why this sort of thing happens. Breitbart.com fooled by joke news site after blasting writer for being fooled by same joke news site.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Gawker brings us this story. When a Washington Post columnist fell for a fake news story on the satire site Daily Current a few weeks ago, Breitbart.com's John Nolte suggested the paper was without a shred of self-awareness, integrity, and dignity, and wrote it, "Never let facts get in the way of a good narrative." Of course, that was before his own outlet got fooled by the exact same satire site. Over the weekend, Breitbart.com's Larry O'Connor published a post on Daily Current item with the title, Paul Krugman Declares Personal Bankruptcy, which was a joke.
Right.
By the way, speaking of jokers, in a post on his blog, Krugman admitted that he saw the false reports but kept quiet because he wanted to wait and see which right-wing media outlets would fall for the
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, yeah.
Proving
you
can be a Nobel-winning economist and funny. Nicely done. All right, 45 minutes
after
the
hour. Never thought of Paul Krugman as a jokester.
He's a scamp. 45 minutes after the hour, right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is great radio.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Okay. Well, you know what? This is always pre-vacation week, isn't it?
It is. We're always like this.
I think you know what happens when we get started with Romney kids. Like, fling,
snorn,
snorn,
snorn, flegel, snort,
snurd. Okay.
Duper
and I hand all the other banana splits.
51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. We love it. Access your entire work computer from your smartphone or tablet like we do with the GoToMyPC mobile apps. They are amazing. I want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For my special offer, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. Enter Stephanie, please. Okay, what?
Sorry, what?
We were talking about... actually, Representative Courtney brought up the Violence Against Women Act. Love this headline. Republican senator takes credit for anti-rape law he voted against. A lot of that going around.
How does he get...
Shortly after President Obama signed the Violence Against Women Act reauthorization to law, Senate Minority Whip John Cornyn released a glowing press release claiming the Cornyn bill to eliminate nationwide rape kit backlog was signed into law. The so-called Cornyn bill is the SAFER Act, which was incorporated into the Violence Against Women Act renewal. There's only one problem. Cornyn voted against it. Cornyn was one of 22 Senate Republicans, men who voted against the Violence Against Women renewal. But because his provision was in the thing that he voted against, you see, he's just taking credit for the bill he voted
against. You're against the Violence Against Women Act, then you must be pro-violence against women.
Right. I do have a Chris Brown story coming up. Thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, Lord. Segway?
Segway? All right, I guess I'll segue now. He was partying at the Emerson Theater out here in Hollywood, apparently, last week when he grabbed the mic from the DJ and went off on how to talk to your woman.
Oh.
Would anyone like some tips?
Okay. Are these fun facts, really?
Yeah, these are some dating tips from Chris Brown.
All right.
Chris said, you gotta say that one thing to her. Don't make me have to tell you again. That's my see, baby. So you better not give it away. So every person in this mother building, if you got a bad, you better say that to her or she might another N-word.
All righty then.
Okay.
Words to live by.
Yeah, those are free, those
Thanks for those tips.
Thanks. Okay. If only I had an umbrella. Ella. Right. With which to smack him. Okay. Baba Walters, everybody, says that Elizabeth Hasselbeck is not leaving The View.
She's not
regardless
waving.
Regardless of whatever you have heard, what scurrilous rumors you may have heard. There was a report yesterday she was being pushed out of the series because of her right-wing opinions. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I think she does serve a purpose on that show. You know, as much as I don't care
for her. Even though she is a white-wing whack job.
I don't care for her.
We are keeping her regardless of the fact she is a white-wing whack job.
She serves a purpose on that.
Sure.
She serves as a foil and makes things interesting.
Sure. Okay. I was going to think of some analogy, and I couldn't. I was out. Okay. Hal told a story yesterday, which we love, of his friend's Pomeranian, who is named Barbara Walters.
Right.
And so she has to run down the street yelling, Barbara Walters, bad! Barbara Walters is bad! No! Which we love, and we were thinking of other, and now I wish I had done that. Yesterday, you said I should name my next dog Jim Lehrer.
Yes.
I'm thinking, actually, Bob Schieffer.
Bob Schieffer.
Bob Schieffer, come here.
I want a biscuit.
Bob Schieffer wants a biscuit.
I'm so old and I'm such a geek. I was thinking if I tuned more dogs, I'll help Huntley Brinkley. Huntley Brinkley, come here. Guess what I'm reactivating?
Say goodnight, Jet.
What?
The whole Team Angelina, Team Jen. You know I've been solidly Team Jen forever.
Yes.
Jim is a team I don't give a flying. However, Brad Pitt reportedly has acquired a marriage license and will Brangelina marry perhaps within 90 days. But that deadline can see the big day for the pair clash with the nuptials of Brad's ex, Jennifer Aniston, which would spark a bitter bun fight over celebrity guests. And it's on again. It's on.
Now, what does Colin Farrell think about all that?
In the words of the immortal Pink, it is so on right now. How dare he do that to Jennifer? I've never. Okay.
Bet you $10 that story isn't true.
I don't care.
$10 American.
I'm just trying to gin up some something.
$10? That's outrageous. I won't pay it.
Hey, it's the parade edition that makes us all feel like giant losers every year. It's the what people earn issue.
Oh, God, that issue.
Justin Bieber, $55 million in 2012.
For what?
Oh, what? Taylor Swift made
$57
million.
Trouble. Yeah, some trouble.
I knew she was trouble when she walked in. Yeah, that's right. She $57 million, breaking young boys' hearts. And they can write songs about them, make goats scream.
Trouble, $57 million worth of trouble.
Oh, Tina Fey's got a potty mouth. This is a fun story. And
I love
this. She's done talking about Taylor Swift. Speaking of Taylor Swift. In footage posted by E! News, a paparazzi asked her if she was overreacting.
Paparazzo.
Right. Asked Faye if Swift was overreacting about their apparent war of words. The 30 Rock star smiles and tells the photographer, go yourself. Walks away. He says, again, can you comment on anything? She said, go yourself.
With your camera.
So apparently that is her comment, that he can go
yourself. Okay, then.
Huh. He's done talking about this Taylor Swift thing.
I'd be a little tired of it, too.
All right. By the by, great piece in the New York Times on the minimum wage debate this weekend that I forgot to mention. You know, we've been talking about, you know, raising the minimum wage or not, as the president proposed. And they make a good point in this piece in the New York Times. Aren't these conservatives the ones that are always whining about, you know, the 47%, the moochers, people living off the public dole?
Mm-hmm.
That's why people have to live off the public, because they don't make enough money.
Right, right.
That's why I don't get why they're not on the side of this. Andy Stern writes, nearly 8 million Americans go to work every day, yet still live below the poverty line. That's in part because the federal minimum wage is too low.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, an individual with a full-time job at the minimum wage and a family of three to support will fall below the federal poverty line. These workers, despite putting in regular hours, are struggling to provide basic necessities for themselves and their families. By allowing the minimum wage to remain at a nearly unlivable level, we've deemed certain jobs not worthy enough to meet even our country's minimum standard of living. But anyway, and then that's why people need government assistance. It makes no sense.
They should just go out and inherit $1 billion.
Right. He writes, the most common objection to raising the minimum wage is that it destroys jobs, but a slew of recent studies have pointed out that although raising the minimum wage does increase earnings and reduce poverty, it has a limited, almost negligible effect on employment. Studies have also demonstrated that restoring the dignity of work through higher wages reduces worker turnover and increases productivity.
But other than that.
There. Hurrah. If you want us to stop mooching, then pay us a living wage.
Exactly.
All right, that's it for us. 58 minutes after the hour.
Hurrah.
Huh. Hal Sparks tomorrow? Is it Hump Days with Hal tomorrow?
Hump Days with Hal tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.